remain standing, if you will, and turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. And I do love that old song. I don't know of many that I like better than "There Is a Fountain." And I'm glad it is filled with blood from the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That blood can wash our sins away. No blood of the bulls or goats or calves or animals could do that. But I'm glad the blood of the Lamb of God, the Son of God, can do that. Amen. Has done it for me and can do it for you if He's not. Amen. Your sins can be washed away. And I am thankful and grateful unto the Lord for that. Ephesians chapter number 6. I'm taking a little break from Zechariah chapter 13 for today. Being Father's Day, I wanted to bring a message. I felt like it'd be right to bring a message directed towards fathers. But I want you to look at these four verses starting out the book of Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible says, children. Now that's talking about small children, children that are still in the home. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court decides. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. God's right. Verse number 2, honor thy father and thy mother. I don't believe that ends when you leave home. I believe honor is to be carried on, right on, as long as you live and as long as they live. As long as they're living, you honor them in their presence. As long as you live, you honor them even in the memory. I believe that's right. Honor thy father and mother. Look at this, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I've said it a number of times when I was growing up. I didn't know that verse was in the Bible, but I knew it was true. But if I didn't obey my dad and I didn't honor my dad, it wasn't going to be good with me, and I wasn't going to live long on the earth. Amen. That's right. Verse number 4. And ye fathers, here's the verse I want to get to. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to read that verse again because that's our text. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Brother Hereford, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, we do.
Honoring our fathers and remembering them.
Yes.
Giving them, lifting them up to thee, dear Lord. Dear Lord, ask that you be with the church, dear Lord. Meet the needs of the church,
yes,
dear Lord.
Yes, Father, do it.
I ask also that you be with the ones that are on the bed of affliction, the ones that are sick and cannot be here.
Yes.
Heal them if it be thy will. Handle it the way that thou seest fit. And, O Lord, lead us and guide us in the way. Dear Lord, be with the one that brings the message. Anoint with thy spirit.
Help us, Lord.
Give us the words that you would have us to hear. And a message from you. Dear Lord, I ask also that you forgive us for failing to do thy will, fail and sin and come short of thy glory.
Yes.
Dear Lord, watch over us, give us the love and care of these things, pray in thy holy and righteous name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Well, as I said, these verses, I'm sure, are familiar with us. We've learned them from our youth. We've heard them in a number of sermons in our life, no doubt, especially on days such as this. We deal with these verses, and I've dealt with these verses at length and depth in other messages at other times. But I'd like to look at it again, visit it again on this occasion of Father's Day, particularly verse number 4, as I said, dealing with the father. He deals with children. And matter of fact, if you would read chapter 6, you'd notice that this is a chapter on lordship. It's a chapter on obedience and masters. You've got children and fathers. You've got servants and masters. Amen. You've got all, matter of fact, in the chapter preceding that, you've got wives and husbands. And so you've got that dichotomy there. You've got the two different parts that are seen. You've got the master or the Lord. And by the way, all of them are teaching us that when we're right with God, we'll take our place as the servant in obedience to our master, as a son in obedience to our Father as a bride in obedience and love to her groom. Amen. And we'll find our place in the place of the servant, but we'll recognize His place in the place as Lord. One of the problems in our world today, a lot of people want to be Lord. Well, I don't like living by those standards. Why? Because you want to be Lord. Well, I don't think it's fair. I mean, the day we've come to, times have changed, and things are, that's because you want to be Lord. If we could ever just find our place where we're supposed to be, we're the servant, He's the Lord, whatever He sends or whatever He says, it's okay. Because He's Lord. Amen. Amen. And I could say a lot about that. Could be a lot of teaching and preaching. It should be, matter of fact. But I want to particularly look at this verse number 4 and deal with it this morning. Probably not at length and not a long time, but just say some things that I hope will be helpful. If I can stay on track and not chase a few rabbits, then it won't be all that long. But I want to say this word that's translated fathers here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, and ye fathers, that word father is translated parents in the book of Ephesians, or in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 23. Parents. And I've heard people say, why does it talk about children and then just a father? It doesn't say the mother. It's just dealing with the father. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Why is it not said that the mother, not because sometimes mothers can provoke their children to wrath too. Amen. Why is it just saying fathers? Well, I believe there's a good reason for that. One is that word could have been translated parents. It could have. He did translate it that later, and it's used that way later in the scriptures, as it said in the book of Hebrews. But He's teaching us the principle again of that lordship principle. Children are to obey mother and dad. And by the way, there ought not be, mom ought not have one rule different than dad's rules. Amen. Amen. Don't nobody fall out with me. But if mama don't like dad's rules, she's still supposed to obey dad's rules. Daddy said is final word. Amen. Amen. Why? Because, and I don't mean to get off on this, but we're there. I might as well chase this rabbit and shoot it when I get there. Amen. But dad is supposed to be representing God to the family. You wonder why this world knows nothing about God. It knows very little about dads. It knows very little about dads. Therefore, they know even less. They know almost nothing about God. Amen. When dad said it, that's the end of it. That's the end of the argument. Amen. But it ought not be a struggle in the home. Moms and dads ought to be in agreement on this thing of raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if there's a problem, dad's the one that settles it. Amen. All right. Well, that went over all right. One fellow, that went over like a cement chicken, what one fellow said. I never tried throwing a cement chicken. Amen. Well, but the word translated father here is translated father 436 times in the New Testament of our Bible. Amen. God used it that way over and over and over. So He is talking to the dads. And so that's what I want to preach on this morning. The title for today is, and ye fathers. Just the first three words of verse number 4. And ye fathers. Now, four things I want to look at in this verse. Three we'll find right in the verse. One, I believe, is alluded to it, and we'll find it in other verses of the Scripture. First of all, I want you to notice the restraint. Then we're going to look at the remark and the restriction and the reward. But the restraint in verse number 4, I'm interested in the fact that this verse starts out with restrictions on the parents. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, even as others. The verse starts off with restraints on parents before it starts putting restraints on children. You know why? Because parents need to have some restraints before they can pass them on to their children.
Right.
It's sad that parents can say, don't you smoke, and they're smoking.
Yeah.
Don't you cuss, and they're cussing.
Right.
You go to church, and they're not going to church.
Right.
It ought not be that way. Amen. They tell you, and I realize that some of us, in our past, there's mistakes we made, and our children will rise up and they say, but you did it, I understand that, but it ought not be that we're still doing it, praise God. Amen. There ought to be in a place where we put some restraints on ourselves and we allowed the Word of God to put restraints on ourselves. Therefore, we have some authority. And by the way, the restraints that God put on us will be all right to work on our children as well. Amen. If it's wrong for daddy to go without his shirt, it's wrong for boys to go without their shirt. Amen. If it's wrong for daddy to wear short breeches, it's wrong for boys to wear short breeches. Amen. Amen. If it's wrong for daddy to have long hair, it's wrong for the boys to have long hair. Amen. I can just go through a long litany of that stuff. Amen. Amen. If it's wrong for the woman, for mama to show off her body, it's wrong for the daughter to show off her body. And just go on and on and on. I could go, I'm just simply saying there ought to be restraints on the parents, and then there can be restraints on the children. Amen. Brother Steve was talking about this morning in Sunday school that in Hannah's day, Elkanah's day, the day of Samuel, he's trying to get up to that. And my message is getting longer by the minute. But he was talking about in that day that it was a shame not to have children. People thought it was a curse not to have children. And that today they've turned that thing on its ear. And it's almost as if it's a shame and a curse to have children. And I was thinking about that while Brother Steve was teaching on that. And I got to thinking the reason is, in a lot of cases, is because that young man and woman want to be children. They want to act like children. They want no restraints and no restrictions on their lifestyle.
Right.
Amen. Children do put restrictions on your lifestyle.
Yes.
Amen. They do. And God puts it there. He said in that, the first thing he said to the father, and particularly to even the parents, but to the father, he said, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, in this idea of restraints, Dad, when that child comes into the world, I'll preach to Houston a minute, all right? When that child comes into the world, all of a sudden there's restraints on you. You can't just run and do like you used to run and do. Amen. Sometimes you won't get a good night's sleep because you got to wake her up, tell her, go feed the baby, change the baby, do something. Amen. 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 So, it changes things in your life. But seriously, think about the restraints that come in the life of a man when he starts having children. All of a sudden, in a lot of cases, that man may have been living just for this world, but all of a sudden he starts thinking about heaven and hell because he's got a soul that he's responsible for. All of a sudden, he's got somebody that he's going to give an account to God for, whether he led them and trained them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, whether he taught them in the way that's right, or whether he led them away from God into a world of sin.
Right.
And so he realizes there's restraints put upon him. Well, let me say this and get back to my notes. Children are led. They're not very well driven.
Right. Yeah.
You can't just shove them in the right direction. You got to lead them in the right direction. Amen. It's better to win their allegiance than just to try to shout them into obedience. Just trying to be like a drill sergeant and force them. By the way, those drill sergeants do have that authority, but they've been in that position. They've stood in those combat boots you're standing in. Amen. They've hiked those trails. They've carried those packs. They've done those things before. And daddies ought to lead their children instead of just trying to command their children. Amen. Restrictions. Provoke not your children to wrath. Don't just try to shove it down their throat. You'll do a lot better trying to lead them in the way that's right. Amen. And I got to think about why did God start off with this negative command? And I believe probably because there's such a need. Because there's such a prevalence today of parents provoking their children to wrath. We live in a generation of angry people. Amen. What would make a young man go and bore holes in his head? Amen. What would make a young man bore holes in his tongue? What would make a young man mark his body up? I'm telling you, anger. Anger in a lot of cases, resentment in a lot of cases. A whole lot of what's going on out there, a whole lot of the race mingling is because they're mad at their mom and daddy and they're trying to provoke their own mom and daddy with their race mingling. Amen. A whole lot of this sodomy and this lesbianism is provoking their parents because they're angry at their parents and they're disillusioned and they're mad. That's our generation. That's where we're living. Amen. It's true. How do we provoke our children? I wrote some things down. And God said we need to abstain from that. We need to be careful about provoking or to provoke not your children to wrath. Well, we provoke them, first of all, by neglecting them. Just by not spending time with them. Amen. And that don't mean you have to be with them all the time. That doesn't mean that you have to be holding their hand at all moments. But I'm telling you, when we don't look after our children, when we just shove them out to the world, we're provoking them to wrath. Amen. We provoke them to wrath when we lose our temper with them. When we get angry, we take it out on them sometimes, we're provoking them to wrath. Amen. Shoving them off on others, not wishing to spend time with them. By the way, God didn't give you your children for you to pawn them off on grandma and grandpa. Although I'm a grandpa now, and my wife's a grandma, and she's a nana now, and we'd love to have some grandchildren come once in a while, but I don't want them to raise. God didn't give them to me to raise. And I say I don't want them. I mean, if something happened, I'd take them, be glad to have them. Amen. I think you understand that. But, excuse me. But we're living in a generation when dads want to be off doing their thing and not have Junior running nowhere near him. Put him off somewhere else. Amen. And sometimes mamas are doing the same thing and they're shoving their children everywhere and pushing them off on everybody rather than raising their children themselves. God gave those children to you.
Amen.
And for you to raise. Amen. We provoke them to wrath by shoving them off on others. We provoke them to wrath when we humiliate them. Amen. Speak harsh things to them. Listen, God help Dad, don't ever call your son dummy. He may act like a dummy because he acts like Daddy. Amen. Now, my dad used to tell me and my brother, he'd say, boys, y'all act like you got good sense whether you do or not. That's what he'd say. And he was getting the point across. Don't act like a dummy. But my dad never told me that I was worthless. He never told me that I was useless, that he wished I'd never been born. Amen. Those words ought never come out of a dad or a mother's mouth. Say amen right there. That's right. Humiliating those children will drive them to being provoked to anger. We provoke them to anger when we make unreasonable demands upon them. Amen. Remember, they're children. They're not adults yet. And by the way, remember that you were a child, may have been many, many years ago, but you were a child once. Amen. Now, I think it's good for children to have responsibilities. I think it's good for children to have chores and things expected of them. Amen. But don't have unreasonable expectations. Amen. For example, there will come a day, I'll talk about Gracie over here. She's a year going on two, all right? We'll be Friday. All right? But little Gracie will one day learn how to make up beds. Hopefully. She'll do that. But it's unreasonable to ask her to do it now. She'll know how to make up a bed. One day she'll know how to cook meals. Amen. But it's unreasonable to ask her to do that now. Amen. And I could use boys inside. There's things that boys will learn to do. Amen. But it is unreasonable to ask them to do that when they're at that early, early age. But you start out training them at that early, early age. You start out teaching them what no means. They learn to be still. They learn to be quiet. They learn to pay attention. Amen. But listen, there's a lot of folks sitting in church today that all they ever learned was to be still.
Right.
And be quiet. And they never learned to praise God. That verse goes on to say, be still and know that I am God. Praise God. That has the idea that you're getting still in God's presence, but when He shows up, you do something. Amen. I believe that's right. Children ought to learn to sit still in the house of God, but they also ought to learn to how to respond in the things of God. Amen. Well, let me go on. We provoke them to anger by allowing them to be captivated by this angry, violent, wicked society that we live in. If you let them feast on the things of this world, you're going to make them angry. They're going to grow up to be angry. Amen. Amen. The Prince just died. I may have said this last year. I don't remember, but he just died. The singer Prince. He had a little song, a little thing that he sang one time. I remember hearing it. He said, and this is what it said. It said, parents, don't let your children watch TV before that they can read, or else all they'll know how to do is cuss and fight and breed. That's pretty plain, but it's right.
Yeah.
Amen. We provoke them to anger by allowing them to play violent video games, listen to violent music, watch violent movies, dress in gothic designs, pierce themselves, tattoo themselves, run with gangs, on and on and on. When we allow those things to take place under our watch, then we're provoking them to anger. Amen. How can we keep from provoking them to anger? He says this restriction, any fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Provoke not your children to anger. Well, first of all, we can help from provoking them to anger just by spending time with them. By spending time with them. And when I say spending time with them, I'm not talking about sitting in front of a television with them, because that's not really spending time with them. You say, come here, Junior, let's sit down and watch this ball game together. And then he gets up and does something. You say, get out of my way, you idiot! I'm trying to watch this thing. That's real love. You made me miss that pass. He made the fellow on there miss the pass. Way you're acting. Amen. But seriously, spending time with them, showing some love. Amen. And in church is a good place to spend time with your family. Amen. But that's not the only time. There ought to be some time that we spend. I'm talking about just spending time, showing them love, showing them some attention. Now listen, we don't make them our God. It's not that we bow down to everything they say. Amen. As a matter of fact, I noticed yesterday, and I'll just plug this. I noticed yesterday, Brother Jacob was talking with me, and maybe some other fellas, I don't know. Logan came in and had something he wanted to say, and it was, and to him it meant the whole world, I'm sure. And Jacob just did this. In other words, he said, wait a minute. And when Jacob finished what he was saying, he listened to what Logan had to say. Amen. I appreciate that. For two reasons. One, he's showing Logan, he's interested in what Logan's got to say. It does mean something to him. Some fellas couldn't care less.
Right.
Just go right on. Just don't pay them no mind. Listen, friend, they are there for the purpose for you to train them, and you're training them in the wrong way if you don't pay them any attention.
Right.
But at the same time, by him doing this and holding out his finger, he's saying, hold on a minute. Don't interrupt. This is important too. You're not the most important thing going on in the world. Say amen right there.
Right.
They, some fellas and women that think they're the most important thing in the world, they think the whole universe goes around them.
Yeah.
Amen. It all rotates around them. It's not that way.
Right.
Spending time with them, showing love and attention. Secondly, we prevent provoking our children wrath when we're affectionate with them. Amen. I'm talking about loving them, actually loving them. There's nothing wrong with a dad picking his boys up and hugging them. Amen. Nothing wrong with him picking up his daughters and hugging them. Amen. Now there'll come a day they'll get too big for him to pick up. But he can still put his arm around them and say, I love you. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about being inappropriate. And by the way, I believe it's good for them to see dad being affectionate with mama. Again, I'm not talking about being inappropriate. I'm not talking about getting out, you know, out in public with things that shouldn't be done. But it's good for them to hear dad say, I love you, and her say, I love you. For them to see them kiss each other once in a while, love each other a little bit. Amen. Because it strengthens that child's assurance. Dad loves me if he loves mom. Amen. Mom loves me if she loves dad. Amen. Amen. Sometimes they get so confused in this world we're living in. And by the way, there's a time in a child's life when they go through puberty, there's a lot of emotions runs through their body. Amen. And there's doubts. I remember going through it. I wondered if mom and dad loved me. Those thoughts, do they love me? I was foolish for thinking that. Amen. But those questions would run through my mind. Amen. Well, we prevent provoking our children wrath, number three, by giving proper discipline that demands obedience at once. Not on third, fourth, fifth, or I'm going to count to ten. All you've taught them when you say, I'm going to count to ten, is that you know how to count to ten. And sometimes you teach them you can even count in fractions. All right, 8.5. No, they've taught you and you've taught them
that they can go right on until there's a deadline, and you'll push that deadline farther and farther and farther and farther away. What they need to know is when you say it, you mean it. Amen. You say, preacher, that's hard. That's the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. God never said, now y'all obey me when I tell you the 14th time. When God said it once, thou shalt, he meant you shalt. When he said thou shalt not, he meant you shall not. First time.
Right.
Amen. Amen. All right. And you say, preacher, that, listen, there has to be restraint on us then in order for there to be restraint on them. We're going to have to quit allowing ourselves to get to that point where we're going to go again and again and again. Now, I do understand it is important to know that they understood the command. Amen. Important that they do understand that. Well, if we don't have that discipline that really commands obedience first, what we're doing is, if we're not careful, we allow that child to go to the point that we get angry and we get embarrassed at the way that child's acting, and then we take out that embarrassment and that anger on the child rather than proper discipline.
Right.
And that's not right. Amen. And then number four, and this is my last point on this first one about the restriction or the restraint that he puts on there. We prevent provoking our children to wrath when we speak approvingly to our children. I said earlier, tell them that you love them. They need to know that. They don't just need to know it one time.
Right.
Amen. I heard the story this woman told her husband. She said, you don't never tell me you love me anymore. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not. But she said, you don't ever tell me. You never tell me you love me. He said, honey, I told you the day we got married. And I told you I'd let you know if anything changed. She needs to know it, and they need to know it. The children need to know it. Amen. Tell them that you love them, but letting them know when they do something good. Let them know when they do something that pleases you. Let them know when they do something that blesses you. Amen. Not just always negative. You don't do anything right. You're no good. On and on. No, let them know. And I'm not talking about just building them up as if they're the best thing. Because, listen, they're not the best thing. The average person is average. Amen. So, they're not the best thing, but let them know they're doing some things right, that you appreciate them. They're not down there that under your foot and you're angry with them and you have no use for them. Let them know that you appreciate them, and they can amount to something of value in this world. Amen. Children are precious. They are. They're not just precious when they're little bitty. They're precious as they grow. They're precious as they grow. Amen. Most of us men, we think they're precious when they got a clean diaper. And their belly's full, and they're happy. But they're even precious when mama's having to change them and feed them and clean them up. Amen. I'm just simply saying they're precious. They are. Amen. Now, I'm convinced that one of the major reasons for the anger and the jealousy and the envy and the sexual confusion that's in our world today is because a lot of children have been provoked to anger by their parents. Amen. The parents have failed to communicate good morals, biblical standards, biblical character, biblical culture. They failed to present that to their children in a way that their children can receive it. Often, children grow up never hearing the voice of their father or the voice of their mother unless it's in shouting, in anger, and resentment. Only time mama calls their name is when she calls all three of their names. That's not right. Amen. Sometimes dads, that's it. That's right, isn't it? Sometimes if we're not careful, we're so busy in our things. And I know how it is. I had three boys. Excuse me. If I had a job to do, it was always, matter of fact, most of the time, it was inconvenient for me to have them under my feet learning to do what I had to do. Amen. It's quicker for me just to do it myself. More convenient for me to just do it myself. But God didn't give me those children for me to leave them out there somewhere with somebody else and them not learn what they need to learn from daddy. Amen. Now, I can't teach them a lot of things. I couldn't teach them how to mechanic because I'm not a mechanic. But I could teach them how to hang sheetrock. I could teach them how to finish sheetrock. I could teach them how to mow yards. Amen. I could teach them how to love their mama. Amen. All right, I'll get off of that. Restriction. Number two, there's a remark. Look at it. Remark. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're told to bring up our children. To bring them up. That, again, entails leading them and guiding them. He didn't say send them up. He said bring them up. Amen. Now, if you're not able to go to the house of God, there's nothing wrong with you sending your children with somebody else. But if you're able to come, you ought to bring them. Amen. You ought to bring them. I was reading something and saw this week. I'd never noticed it before. Brother Ben, I was thinking, and as long as it lines with the children's church, the way, you know, some of these churches, and I know their reason for doing that, because they're so pious. And they want to enjoy service so good, they want to be still, as I said. They want to be still and not have any distractions. And be able to hear the preacher when he reads the Bible, if he does. And hear the singer. They want to be able to applaud. They don't want the children to disrupt anything. Because children are a nuisance. That's in their mind. Children are a nuisance. And so they put them off in this junior church or children's church. And in some cases, they say they're training them to come and worship in the big church. I don't know if that's so or not. Some cases, it's just like a Sunday school, and they're coloring and they're learning. And I'm not against children learning. But here's what I noticed. Jesus had his disciples around. They're all talking about who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus went and got a child. And he didn't say, fellas, y'all stay over here. I'm going over here and start in junior church with this child. You know what he did with that child? Take your King James Bible. He took that child and put it in the midst of his disciples. That's because our children need to be sitting on the pews with us in the house of God. They don't need to be off somewhere playing ball. They need to be in the house of God when church is going on. Amen. Amen. They need to be here. Thank God for children. Thank God God loves children. Amen. Several years ago, there was a man that in that time was considered a great man in the independent Baptist churches. Some people thought when he fell, the whole fundamentalism would fall. But he fell. And the rest of it's still here. But he was going to be preaching down in another town out from us. He preached there every year. I got the flyer and told my wife, I said, we ought to go. It was on a weekday. I don't remember now exactly. On a weekday. And so I said, we ought to go. And I got to reading. And at that time, we only had one child. That was Hannah. And she had to be less than two if we didn't have Joshua already. So anyway, I had Hannah and read on that letter, and it said, all children under 12 must be in a nursery. And the guy had this asterisk down there, and it said, because this great man of God has flown all these miles to come and tell us this important thing he wants to tell us, and we don't want children disrupting that. Here's what I said to my wife. She'll probably remember it. I said, if the church ain't good enough for my children, it's not good enough for me. Amen. And if that man's not interested in preaching while there's children there, I'm not interested in hearing him. And today I'm glad I didn't go hear that hypocrite. Amen. 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 That's right. Because he proved out to be what I thought he was. Amen. Amen. Or what it just turned out to be. Anyway. All right. Well, the remark. He says, bring them up. Bring them with us into the house of God. Amen. Now, there's two ways we're to bring them up. Two things being focused. Number one, nurture. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The word nurture is Strong's number 3809. It means tutorage. It means education or training. By implication, disciplinary training. Nurture. And then there's admonition. The word admonition is Strong's number 3559. And it means calling attention to, by implication, mild rebuke or warning. So you got two kinds, nurture and admonition. Admonition can be only vocal. Nurture is hands-on.
Right.
Amen. I'll say that again. Admonition can be only vocal. You're telling them. Nurture is hands-on. Far many dads, far too many dads, have neglected this part of the job of being a father.
Right.
It's a job requirement to train up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Children need a man in their life to train them. Amen. Amen. Sometimes in the early days, I'm talking when they're little children, they need the force of the man. Amen. The ability that can put them in their place. They need that. Sometimes they get too big for mom to do that. And eventually they'll get too big for dad to do that. But if mom and dad have done that when they had that force and when they had that position, when they get bigger than them, then they will obey them and honor them in that position. Amen. Amen. Well, sometimes in the early years they may need force, but in the latter years the admonition, just the word, can do it. Now here's what I thought about on that training, that hands-on training. Would you expect your son? I'll use sons. We're talking about dads and sons. America's sport, baseball. All right, we'll talk about that in just a minute. You say that's carnal. Well, I'm preaching to carnal people. You'll understand what I'm talking about. Would you expect your son to become an expert baseball player by reading the rule book? No. Would you expect him to become an expert baseball player even by reading biographies of great baseball players? No. Would you expect him to become a great baseball player by looking at baseball cards? No. He'll never learn to hit the ball until he sees somebody do it. Amen. And somebody not only shows them how to do it, by the way, that dad, that's part of our job, and I'm not talking about baseball now, I'm talking about in the things of God. They'll never learn to walk with God unless they see somebody do it. Amen. That's our job as dads. We're the coach. We're the trainer. Amen. But that baseball, go back to that. He sees somebody do it, but he also has somebody that shows him, first of all, shows him how to get a hold of the bat. You don't hold a bat like this. A lot of times they'll pick it up that way, or they may have their hands up, you know, up too high, or whatever. You show them how to hold that baseball bat. You show them how to wait on the ball. You show them how to watch for it. And then you show them how to swing. You go through all that. Now, I'm not trying to teach you how to play baseball, but I'm trying to say this. They learn by being told. They learn by watching the illustration. And they learn by you having a little bit of patience, because they may miss it the first time or the first dozen times. Amen. But you have a little bit of patience, and when they do miss it, you don't say, "All right, you're a lousy baseball player, forget it." No, you say, "Try again. Try again. Try again." Amen. This thing about living for God, listen, they're going to watch us take our steps, and once in a while, there'll be a misstep. Amen. You teach them not to throw it down and say, "I'm done. I'm never going back." You teach them by saying, "Let's get up and try it again. Let's learn what we did wrong, and let's correct our errors, and let's try it again." Amen. Amen. So there's the remark. Number three, there's the restriction. He says, in the ways of the Lord. Amen. In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I don't have to train them. My job's not to train them to be like my dad. My job is not to train them to be like Dr. Spock. My job is not to train them to be like society. My job is to train them according to this book. In the ways of the Lord. Amen. Ultimately, dad's responsibility is to get his children to be reared up as godly children, because they're based on the Word of God. Amen. His goal is that they might be the children that they should be. And they've got the standard, which is the King James Bible, that teaches them the way that's right. Now, dad's going to have convictions in his own life strong enough to overcome those slothful tendencies, because, oh me, because of this, most men are willing to let the wife, the mother, do it all. You say, "Preacher, you shouldn't say that." Have you ever seen a chair called a lazy girl? No. Amen. I know it. I know it. I've seen some lazy girls, but they wasn't chairs. But they name him Lazy Boy. You know why? Because dad loved. Now, thank God that he's been out working. Thank God he's labored. And he's brought home the groceries. And he's helped mom to be able to stay at home. Say amen right there. Thank God for all that. But if he's not careful, He'll think that's all he has to do.
Right.
She's had the children however long that day he's been gone. And she's to keep them quiet, keep them out of his hair, out from under his feet, so he can relax for a little while. When the truth is, that might be a good time for a little training.
Right.
Amen. To show them the way that's right. Amen. Brother Crawford said it last night so well. Get your Bible and spend some time in the Bible with your family. Spend some time in prayer with your family. And it don't have to be a certain time. There just ought to be a time that you do. Amen. God help us. We've got to restrict our own self. We're restricted to the Word of God. We've got to be able to overcome our own slothful tendencies. Listen to this. We've also got to be able to overcome the advice of all those around us. Because most of your family members are going to say, well, I just don't see it that way. You're being too hard on those boys. They'll do like Brother Hall said about his aunt. Oh, those are good boys. What was his dad's name? He'd say that. Said his aunt would always say that. Oh, they're good boys, Brother Hall said. We wasn't good boys. Well, society will say, those kids don't need to be in church all that much. Those children don't need to, they don't need to live that kind of a lifestyle. You don't need to have those kind of restrictions on them. And the world's got all their ideas about how you ought to raise your children, and they're not living by the Bible.
Right.
And by the way, it condemns them, it convicts them when you do live by the Bible.
Right.
And that's why they won't advise you to do others. And sometimes it's people in the same family circle. Amen. You got to overcome them. Amen. Let me say this, and I'm almost done. I meant to have been done earlier, but I'm almost done. If people reject the teaching of that Bible, then you reject their teaching. That's what you ought to do. If people refuse to allow the Bible to give them advice, you ought to refuse to allow them to give you their advice. Amen. They say, well, I believe that, it's just too old, too fuddy-duddy. You're going to drive them away on and on and on and on and on and on. It goes, I go back to what I said earlier. Dads, God gave those children to you. He didn't give them to them. He didn't give them to social services. He didn't give it to the government. Amen. Didn't give it to the daycare. He didn't give them to the school system. He gave them to you. Amen. And you ought to get in that Bible and you ought to train your children from the Bible. Amen. All right, lastly, there's the rewards. There's the rewards. Well, before I move off of that, let me say this. God made you a man. That every dad is a man. There's no such thing as a woman being a dad. No such thing. No such thing. I get caught up in this, something. This world system is so crazy in all this trans and thing. I could see a lot of things. Their argument about that killer that killed that crowd out yonder in Orlando last weekend. Some of them said it couldn't have been Muslim extremism. He was gay. And so it was a gay that hates gays. Well, maybe he was transitioned into a Muslim extremist. That's what he declared himself to be. They say if he declared himself to be a woman, we'd have to say, all right, you're a woman now. He declared himself to be a Muslim. I say, well, he was a Muslim extremist. Amen. But here's where I'm going. This whole thing of changing. Listen, if you was born a man, that's what God made you. He meant for you to be.
Right.
If he didn't want you to be a woman, he made you a woman. God don't change his mind like some people think he does. God don't make mistakes. I've said God never made a cat in a dog's body, never made a horse in a cow's body. He never made a Martian in an earthling's body. Amen. God made you like he meant you to be. Now, the doctors can change the way it looks. The psychiatrist can change the way it thinks. But it never changes what God made you. Every dad is a man. Sometimes you just have to be a man and say, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going the way I feel like God wants me to go. I'm going to lead my family because God made me a man. Just be a man. Amen. Now, I'm ready to move off of that. Turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 10 is where we'll look first. I've got several Proverbs to show you the rewards. This verse in Ephesians does not really spell out the rewards that are offered. I think it's alluded to in the whole teaching of it. We can see it, I believe. But there's rewards for fathers that obey the Scriptures in the raising of their sons and daughters. Proverbs 10 and verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You want your children to make you ashamed? And they can, by the way. Now, somebody said it yesterday, every child has a decision to make in their own life. Every human being has their own will and their own decisions they got to make. Amen. And some of them will go wrong, you doing your best to train them in the way that's right. But if you don't do your best to train them in the way that's right, what chance have they got? It's already an uphill battle for them to choose right. It's an uphill battle. But if you don't give them some climbing gear, if you don't teach them to put on their hiking boots and let's go, they'll never climb. There's very little chance that they'll climb. And he says here, if you want your son to make you glad, make him a wise son. Amen. If you want to make a fool out of you, make you ashamed, let him grow up and be a foolish son. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. It's almost the same thing, but there's a little bit of a twist there. Not only does he make his mama ashamed, but he don't care for her like he ought to care for her. He despises her. He said, that's a foolish man. How's he going to learn to love his mama? He sees daddy loving his mama, and he's taught that. Amen. He's taught that. There comes a time in young men's lives. I'll use these young men right here on the front row. There comes a time in their life that part of growing up to be a man is they start not really appreciating womanly advice. It happens. A part of being a man, and God's getting you ready for marriage, that you can tune them out. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, fellas. No, but this thing of growing up to be a man is that after a while, they don't like the fact that mama's telling them what to do. They want daddy to tell them. Amen. And by the way, that's one reason why there ought not be two different things being done. If mama says it, daddy ought to agree with it. And if daddy says it, mama ought to agree with it. Amen. And so when mama says, do this, and they say, I don't want to do it, or you just see the resentment. It's a natural part of growing up that it's a part of them learning to stand on their own two feet. It's natural. But it can go off into rebellion that they don't want any authority over them. Amen. Part of the job of the dad is to say to that boy, son, I know it may grate on you. I know you don't want to hear it right now, but your mama's right, and she is your mama, and she loves you, and you ought to obey her, and you ought to honor her as long as you live. Amen. Dad can instill that in. There's rewards there. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 6. Children's children. Boy, I like this verse. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of the children are their fathers. Amen. Children's children are a crown of old men. And thank God for grandchildren. Amen. It's a blessing, he said. My dad said that grandchildren is God's way of rewarding you for not killing your children when they were teenagers. Amen. Look at 17:21. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow. And the father of a fool hath no joy. Look at verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear them. Listen, we're living in a world today, children don't want to honor their dads on Father's Day because they're angry at dad. But the truth is, in a lot of cases, dad don't want to hear from his kids even on Father's Day because he's angry at his kids for the way they're doing. It ought not be that way. Look at chapter 19, verse 13. A foolish son is the calamity of the father, and the contentions of a wife are of a continual dropping. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 24. and 25. Proverbs 23:24 and 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Go on a couple of pages, Proverbs 28, verse number 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. Boy, right there, talking about, I believe when they get a little older and they get those friends, that grieves dad's heart because they've gotten in with men that are righteous men. Proverbs 29 and verse number 3 is the last one I'm going to read right here. Proverbs 29, verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. That may even be the even older son that grows up to run with the women and waste his money, and it grieves the dad. But a wise son, one that loves wisdom, makes a glad father. Amen. Rejoices his father. When you see your children begin to grow up, there's a joy in that. I talked about that on Mother's Day. That those children rise up and call her blessed was the idea I used. You remember that? And I talked about how when they're growing up, they bless your heart. Amen. It's a blessing when the little ones start saying, Mama, Mama, Mama. It's a blessing when they start saying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And Daddy usually gets to say, see there? She said, Daddy first. Or the boy said, Daddy first. Amen. It is a blessing when you watch them start growing up. When you see them starting being able to carry their own weight around and work and doing things. When you see, by the way, yesterday when we were out there, we're cooking the stuff. Brother Doug was cooking. We was out there fellowshipping and talking. I came in to get a thing of the chain was broken on the cooker, and I came in here to get one of your tools, Miss Ruth. I couldn't find my pliers and used one of these to bend that thing back together. And as I started in this way, I happened to think about the chairs in the fellowship hall. I said, can some of you young men line up those chairs? I saw all those young men walk in there, and I didn't have to go in and check it. When we came in to eat, chairs set out there. Praise God. Those young men did it. Amen. It's a blessing. It's an honor to see them do that. Amen. And the old men get to sit around and talk. And say, that's my boy. Amen. And without you saying it, others will say, you raised him well. If they learn to take orders, they learn to carry their own weight, they learn to be good citizens. Amen. You watch them grow up. You're blessed by their proper character. You're blessed by their behavior rather than broken by their behavior. They'll live to make you glad that you chose to follow the Bible in your family. Amen. John says this, you don't have to turn because it's in the little books of 2 John and 3 John. There's only one chapter in each of those books. Verse 4 of both books, 2 John and 3 John. Here's what it says. 2 John 1:4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in the truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. 3 John 1:4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He said, it blessed me to see your children doing right. And it blesses me even more to see my children doing right. Amen. There's a threefold goal in raising our children, and I believe it's a reward. Number one, if we raise them right, good children make good citizens. Amen. Undisciplined, unruly children make for an undisciplined and unruly society. Amen. I was thinking about this, Brother Ricky. I was thinking about Rick in the military. And we know that everybody in the military is not good, godly people. They don't all come from a family like your family. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that's right. I'll guarantee you that Rick would make a better soldier because some of the training that he's received at home than these boys right off of the street that's just lived rough. And they may know how to fight. They may know how to kill. But they don't know how to obey orders. They don't know how to have honor and respect. And by the way, that's what the military is not just a destructive force. It ought to be an honorable thing. Amen. Right. Amen. Amen. Ought to be an honorable thing. And I thought about that. I thought about others on the job, on the workforce. It is an honor to them. I said to Brother Ricky and to Miss Kelly, it is an honor to the mom and dad that raised those children in the way that's right. It's an honor to you when they see those children going up and doing that. Maybe they don't do everything. I know they don't. But thank God for the things they do right. That is a blessing and an honor because they learned it at mama and daddy's knee. Teaching them and training them in the way they should go. Amen. And the Bible says when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Good children make good citizens. Number two, good children grow up to produce another generation of godly children. Amen. That means that your influence goes on and on and on as the years go by. Our goal is that we have good children so they'll be good citizens. That's a reward. A reward, and our goal is that good children have another generation, and that's a reward when you can hold those grandchildren. When you can see, maybe on the computer they send you this little thing, or on your cell phone they send you this little thing of your grandchild singing Jesus Loves Me. Oh, it swells your heart. Amen. To hear them say their own prayers and things, oh, it blesses your heart. You watch them grow. Those are two. Good children make good citizens. Good children have a second generation. But children that are raised godly have a chance for glory land. What a reward to get to heaven and be able to say, as Jacob said, these are the children that the Lord gave me in the land. Listen. You won't carry your car to heaven. You won't carry your job to heaven. You won't carry your house to heaven. You won't carry your goods to heaven. But you do have a chance to take your children and your grandchildren. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Excuse me. I'll say that fathers have a lot of responsibility. We're going to take a time of invitation. If the Lord spoke to your heart, you need to come and call on the Lord. I want you to think about the responsibilities of a dad. Dad, you think about it. Mama, think about the responsibility your husband has. Children, think about the responsibility your dad has. If you've got a godly dad, you've got a godly husband, you ought to thank God for them. And you ought to let them know that you thank God for them. And if you are a dad, you ought to do your best to be a godly dad. Do your best to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do your best not to provoke them to anger, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for these moments of time as we've thought on fathers. Thank you for the training and the teaching of the King James Bible. I don't have all the answers. Don't claim to. I'm not a perfect parent. Don't claim to be. But I do have a perfect Bible without an error. It's got the answer to every question if I just know where to look. If I'll just obey the Spirit of God, follow the Lord, you'll guide me into all truth. And you'll help me in the raising of my children. You'll help me in the instructing of my grandchildren. Father, I pray for these men that we honor today. Would you help them be what you want them to be? These young men that are not fathers yet, one day they may be. Lord, help them that they'll honor their dad and that they'll train up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Lord, I pray bless this invitation time according to thy will. If there be some sinner, Lord, I pray you'd bring them into the family today that they might get saved by the good grace of God, that they might come to know the Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. If you need to come, we're going to sing. And you've got the opportunity to come and bow and pray if you need to do that. Well, 153. While we sing, if you need to come, obey the Lord.